Now, you just passed along that we've got reports and sources that say that Brock Purdy today in practice threw how many passes?
Not a one. In the open sessions, as viewed by Cam Inman, friend of the program.
No passes.
Zero passes.
Okay.
There were some handoffs.
Kyle Shanahan, what's your concern level with Purdy?
Not much right now. See how this week goes, but you know, he's limited today, so I think that's good news.
Okay. He uses the phrase good news.
Because he was limited. If he was really, really hurt, then he would have been out.
Let's start with the beginning of that. How concerned are you with Purdy? Listen to this.
Not much right now. See how this week goes, but you know, he's limited today, so I think that's good news.
Bit of an uncomfortable pause.
Yeah, but then it's not much right now. Not much right now.
I mean, okay.
And I don't know if, you know, if there was an actual injury to report, then, you know, you'd be a little bit more concerned, and he probably would be out. He wouldn't be out there on a limited basis.
Do you want to hear some answers to a lot of the stuff that we threw out there yesterday? And those of you on hold, we're coming to the calls here real quick. But remember, okay, Debo. Why is Debo 3 yards per carry, below 3 yards per carry? Here's Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't had a big one. Hasn't had a bunch of great looks. There's two looks, I think, this year that he did have a pretty good look and just missed it, you know, where he could have had a big one. And when you don't get that big one and you've had a few bad looks, then that average isn't going to be good.
Okay, and then what about the two running back set that a lot of people want to see and Jordan Mason getting in there?
Yeah, two running backs on the field. Good. Can't give you our game plan, though. But, yeah, it's always a possibility.
Okay, it's always a possibility. All right, what's your philosophy on running back by committee?
It wasn't like that for our first 4 years here. You know, we had three guys usually. You know, we had Tevin, we had Raheem, we got Breida. So I think we've always done it that way. It just depends on the backs. Since Christian's been here, I think it's the only time we've had one guy. And I think that's for obvious reasons. But when he's tired, you know, we spell him, especially with the good backups we have.
Do you want to see Jordan Mason involved more?
I like all those guys playing. But it depends on the situation, depends how many times you're getting the ball, depends on the drives. But depends if we're going to put two backs out there. When you do two backs and you got to take either a big off or another receiver. But I'm not always thinking of how to get Christian off.
Okay. You accept those answers?
I do. I accept it. But I do think that you're going to see more of Jordan Mason and his answer about, you know, I like all those guys. That to me is his way of saying, I'm not going to tell you yes, because then it's game plan giveaway to his buddy LeFleur. But I do think his first answer about two running backs, I think that he does listen to the show and he's heard me say it since Monday. And I also think that, you know, looking at your personnel, you need to get your five best eligible players on the field at once as often as possible. And McCaffrey's that guy. So if he's going to play 90% of the snaps, that's great.
Yep.
That means Mason gets 10% unless you do a couple of two running back sets and you put McCaffrey in the slot. And Debo, I don't know if you need him 100%, but he's going to be around 80 and Pearsall about 75 and Kittle's going to be around 90, 95. So you start to think about, and Juwan, he'll be out there for 85%. So unless you move McCaffrey elsewhere, J.P. Mason's not going to get enough snaps to really do anything.
888-957-9570. Are we overreacting? And I really, like, I asked the question genuinely. Are we overreacting with the idea that Kyle Shanahan's system has been figured out? Yards per drive, number 2. Points per drive, number 10. Punts per drive, number 32, which is also known as number 1 in the league. Fewest punts per drive, plays per drive, number 4, scores per drive, number 4, drive success rate, number 10. Now, when we threw all that out there, someone hit us up on the Comcast business text line and said this from the 415. Willard, put all those numbers aside and tell me, how do you feel when you're watching this team play games? Like crap. Like crap.
Well, you feel good watching it, and then you get down to the 12-yard line and you think, all right, how are they going to settle for 3 here?
No, I actually disagree. I don't feel good when I'm watching them play this year. I've never felt more frustrated watching a team. I've never felt more frustrated watching a team than watching this one. And I understand what's happening in those moments, that a lot of that has to do with the expectations and the excitement that was surrounding this season. But I'm with you. I'm with you. This is incredibly frustrating. I don't ask the question to say, hey, don't you actually think it's okay? No, I don't think that. I don't think they think that. I guess my point is, again, it's two things. One, I think that I would hope that this changes the outlook a little bit, because you and I have both heard people literally this week be like, pack it in.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see some young people play.
Pack it in. One game out with seven to go.
Good Lord, I'm not there. I'm not even close to there. But number two, even while I will sit here and agree that adjustments need to be made that have not been made, red zone efficiency's got to be better, all that stuff. But I certainly would back off the idea of Kyle Shanahan no longer knows how to call a play, and his offense is just stuck in quicksand. They're not moving. I don't know, man. I can't wait to talk to Greg about this, because all of these numbers suggest otherwise.
Right.
They suggest that they're actually moving the ball up and down the field with some regularity, maybe more so than our emotions are allowing us to see.
Yes, and I'll allow for that. The majority of the stats you gave were on a per-drive basis, and they're 30th in total drive. So if you're doing it per drive, those are all great numbers. Then if you're a team that only is going to have a handful of drives a game, and I'm looking at my notes, they had three drives in the second half on Sunday. They had eight total drives, and that's if you count the last drive of the first half where they ran out of time. So eight drives. If you're going to have fewer drives than other teams, your red zone efficiency has got to be high, because you don't have as many chances as these teams that are getting 11 and even more drives per game. So all those numbers you lay out are great, as long as you cash it in. And if you don't cash it in, it's like being at the blackjack table and you're up 300, and then you should just walk away and cash that baby in. Get to the cashier, into the red zone, touchdown. But no, you press your luck and you wind up losing $80, and now you're mad. That's kind of what this Niner, that's what the Niner experience is like.
I get it.
Because you look good, and it's Juwan, it's McCaffrey, and it's Kittle, and little Debo, and oh, juice, and we all get excited, and it's first and goal at the 19, and then it's where's Moody?
Yeah.
Oh, we missed.
Yeah.
That was fun.
By the way, what about this one? They're last in punts because of all those turnovers. Number 11. In turnover differential in the NFL.
That's differential, right?
Yeah, but that's plus three. In other words, they've got more, they have caused more turnovers than they've committed.
Yep.
Like, yeah, again, you're right. Brock Purdy's interception rate is up, but I wouldn't look at this team and think all those turnovers. Would you?
No.
I don't think they got the turnover bug. I think they got the penalty bug.
Yeah, in turnover percentage, which is turnovers per drive, they are dead flat in the middle.
I mean,
10.8% of the time the drive ends with a turnover, 16th in football, and the Raiders are dead last. They turn it over one in every five drives, basically.
Yep.
But the teams that are at the best in that, playoff teams, sure. Chargers, Commanders, Bills, Steelers, Ravens, those are five of your top six.
Let's go to Steve-O on the Niners here in the city. Hi, Steve-O. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey guys, first, Mark, I just want to say hello on the radio. We got to shake hands at Thrive City last week. It was an honor to meet you, and had a good time.
Thank you for coming up to us. We love that. We love that.
Yeah, Debs, you're next.
Yeah,
you got that, buddy. You're
glad,
next.
Glad to be Mark's plus one.
So I want to talk about the confidence level of the Niners, and I think they're in real trouble. In the beginning of the year, you know, they had these losses that we were kind of surprised by, and they had all this quiet confidence about them that I thought, you know, we thought maybe it was just, you know, some swagger, and now, you know, you hear Fred Warner at the presser, and he's like, you know, maybe this is actually who we are until we can prove otherwise. And I think that's, you know, the nail on the head. They're starting to doubt themselves a little bit, and until someone steps up and make some big plays. You know, Shanahan was talking about Debo making a big play. He hasn't done that yet. Jennings had a great game last game. We need a couple more guys to do that. You know, Christian's going to come back and maybe bust one out. And Bosa had a couple sacks before he got injured. It's going to take a couple of those big spark plays to get these guys back up to 100%. And right now, You can hear it in Fred Warner's voice. I don't think they have it.
Yeah, well, that's it. Okay, Steve-O, thanks so much for the call. The Fred Warner soundbite that he's referring to was Fred kind of saying, this is infuriating, but this is what we keep doing, so maybe almost I have to accept that, that until we prove otherwise, this is us. I don't know if that's Fred suddenly lacking confidence. Fred's the leader on this team, so I think Fred is trying maybe a different angle to get a message across to his guys. I also think he's very discouraged, rightfully so. Like, I think all those things are true, but I don't think it's representative of them sort of lacking confidence. I still think that this team, they're looking at this, and I know that a lot of people will say this isn't fair, and nobody wants ifs and hypotheticals and all that stuff, but I would at least acknowledge that we as a group would feel very differently. In fact, we might be myopic about the Niners' chances if they had just made three other plays.
Sure.
They'd be 8-2.
Well, they blew five plays against the Rams alone.
Exactly.
And that was a game undone.
But they only need to make one of them.
Pretty much.
Jordan Mason.
It was like a five-play parlay, as you've mentioned.
Like, let me give you three plays. I give you three plays. And this is not fair because this is life and this is sports and you have to make the plays.
Right.
But if Ronnie Bell catches the ball in L.A. and Jordan Mason doesn't fumble the ball against Arizona and Brock Purdy does an airmail Debo Samuel on Sunday, they're 8-2.
Yeah, most likely.
They're 8-2.
Yeah.
Now they did, so they're not.
Exactly.
And that's, I get.
And that's, you know, that's where I live and that's where I sit. And we, you know, all the numbers you ran down are great. And I love those kinds of metrics, especially this time of the year, because you can really look at what a team has done. And then I look at a team like Kansas City. And if you went through all those metrics with the Chiefs, they stink.
Yep.
They're bad in all of them.
But they make unbelievable plays in key moments.
In the fourth quarter, they're number four in the league in scoring. Their defense is mid-pack, but when it gets time to win the game, and Kyle mentioned it again today, you get to the fourth quarter, and the majority of these games is either you do it or we do it in the final 8 minutes, and the Niners have not done it. So is it Super Bowl hangover? Is it young players not ready for the spotlight?
No, they're champions.
Is it bad coaching?
They're champions.
Is it all of the above?
They're champions.
Well, a lot of those guys aren't.
Well, but collectively, I'm big on the culture that you step into. You know, yesterday you made a comment about, well, hang on a second, Super Bowl hangover. We got a bunch of guys that weren't even on that team.
Exactly.
Right, but they stepped into a culture and they stepped into a vibe. And right now, I would argue, and not just right now, quite frankly, all year long, we've been talking about the vibe. It's not good. It's not good. From Brandon Ayuk's holdout to Trent Williams' holdout to Christian McCaffrey's injury to Ricky Pearsall being shot, and on and on and on.
Debo confronting a kicker.
Debo
slapping a snapper.
Right? You got the Tabor Pepper situation. You got undisciplined play. You've got come-from-ahead losses against ridiculous opponents that you outplayed. All of these things build. And you're watching Fred Warner looks totally dejected. Nick Bosa's biggest moments this year have been political, not athletic.
Like, well, that's a stretch.
No,
but
if you... Okay, understand what I mean there.
I do. But he's coming off a great game and he's hurt.
He's a great player.
He had an interception.
But the most memorable American content Nick Bosa moment this year was what?
American content.
It's not an argument.
I know what you're saying.
Right.
It's a point of distraction.
Thank you.
And it's a point where
everything
the culture does not feel like 53 guys one page.
Everything we're talking
I'll
about with
that.
The 49ers this year is all the things except for the good football. That it's all of these things. They can be negative, positive, whatever. That's not a political statement. It's simply a matter of fact that everything about these 49ers this year has been distracting. It's been off the field. It's been financial. It's been all of that stuff. And so if I'm Malik Mustafa, dude, it's no different than the kid who lives in the house of the parents who are about to get divorced. You're soaking that crap up.
Yeah, I don't think that it's as bad as you're portraying.
No,
and I think there's just frustration in the losses that should be wins. And you look at all the numbers you ran down, and I could hit you with DVOA, their number six, which is the ultimate geek metric that takes everything into account, Pro Football Focus overall, they're number four in Pro Football Focus ratings. So you listed off 10 top 10s. They're six in DVOA. They're four here. They're great. They have a positive point differential.
Sure.
All that thing into a stew, and you're 5-5.
Right. And what I'm saying is both answers matter.
Exactly.
That does matter. DVOA does matter. The numbers I'm throwing out, it matters. The Niners don't suck. They don't suck, but they're also 5-5, and they kind of suck in certain spots. And I do think that there's room for both the mathematical answers, which we're talking a lot about today, and the emotional ones. And I'm not saying that the Niners have a bad locker room or a negative environment or all that, but the rookies are, they are soaking up whatever the vibe of the room is, and it has felt somewhere between distracted, emotionally exhausted, frustrated
for
whatever
sure.
it is.
Yeah.
It's all of those things. That's what's in the room right now.
I get it. And for me, that is a minor piece of the bigger problem, which is on the field, you've got discipline issues. You're making mistakes that championship caliber teams don't make. Those pre-snap penalties, things like lining up incorrectly. It wasn't this game, but it was a game before. Remember, you had Pearsall in there and another receiver, and they're pointing to each other like, you move right. up, you move
oh,
up.
Oh, it was Conley.
Thank you,
yes,
it was Conley.
It was
Conley. Then they snap the ball, and it's like the two of them are like doing that Spider-Man meme where they're just pointing at each other.
You go, you, me? No, you? Okay.
So it's a little, for me, it's attention to detail.
Sure.
And part of that culture is young players and inexperienced players, but it's also, you know, what this team needs to button up. Your special teams have been sloppy. You've made careless mistakes on both sides of the ball. And it's led you to where you get into these big spots and you don't come through.
Yep.
You put yourself behind the eight ball, or, you know, defensively last game, you give them the ball back. And I know the ref should have called a 5-yard penalty for back-to-back timeouts, which would have made it 4th-and-1. Then you either go forward or you kick a field goal, and maybe all that plays out differently, but they didn't. And you punted it into the end zone unnecessarily, another mental mistake, and then the rest is history.
Well, I do think this, you know, there's a reason, for example, like, and we've had these conversations a lot before, like, and I go back to last year's Eagles game. So Eagles are 10-1. They're hosting the Niners. The Niners had lost the year before in the NFC title game. The Niners come in their 3-point favorite. And you remember the whole conversation. I was like, what the hell are the Niners doing favored? And I had my own opinion about it, but we brought in our Vegas guy. And I said, explain to me what's going on here. Don't just tell me, like, yeah, we think the Niners are better. Like, what's going on here? And it was fascinating to me to learn more about how a spread comes together. And Vegas, as you all know, they're not doing this just because, like, let's get a cup of coffee. I don't know, feels like 3.5. All right, cool. Like, they are diving deep. They're going, what about this matchup? What about that matchup? What do the Niners actually do in the red zone? What do they do in between the 20s? What do they do in the pass game? Run game? This matchup, like you just brought up, DVOA. Let's go deep into the numbers and find out what really makes this matchup tick. They sit here at 5-5, and for the first time in 2 years.
30 games.
That's insanity.
30 games.
For the first time in 30 games, Vegas has decided the other team is supposed to win. And that other team is really good. They're at home, and they're supposed to win by, puts fingers near each other, this much.
Yeah, less than a field goal.
So this team that we have decided frustrates the living hell out of us, and that's fair. But how many, raise your hand, I'm one of them, how many people post-Sunday texted a friend or a family member, the Niners suck? I did.
Yeah, not me.
Whatever. Like, I was mad. Yeah. I mean, it was playfuls with the family. Yeah. I'm just like, Niners stink, blah, blah, blah.
I can't say that word out loud with a 2.5-year-old who's a sponge.
Well, texting it is not out loud.
I know.
Yeah, so it's okay. But I get it. But do you know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah, I agree, Jeff.
It is awesome. It's awesome. I am just like you. I am so frustrated. But I think there are windows out there that you can look through if you want to. And see that there's something that's still there.
Yeah, you know, there's no doubt.
You ever see that Bagger Vance movie?
Of course.
Yeah, you get to, like, your swing is in there. You just got to go find it.
But the Niners now are on the 12th hole.
Of course.
And they are on the verge of missing the cut.
Right.
And so you need to start making a couple of birdies here. You can't give away some of these easy par fives anymore. Now, this game this weekend is not an easy par five.
I don't know if there's any easy par fives left. You now need to go
birdie
to 200.
The Bears at home should be.
Well, fine. But that game doesn't even matter if you don't do something these next 2 weeks.
Right.
It barely matters. You know what I mean? Like, if the Niners lose these next 2 weeks, the idea that they're going to go 5-0 for the rest of the year, that feels a little harebrained.
It'd be tough. I mean, no doubt.
You know, yeah, they're allowed to. Great. They got to win one of these two.
It's funny you mentioned all this because I was going through for my pick 'em pool and I'm Googling every team against the spread as an underdog this year.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find the Niners. And I'm looking and I looked at the list twice and then I'm like, dummy, they haven't been an underdog since in 30 games.
Right.
Since the NFC Championship. So there's no data, Mark, or data. You're a coupon guy. I go coupon. So we differ there. But there's no data on them as an underdog this year.
And the last time they were an underdog, their quarterback's arm flew off, right?
Yeah, didn't
cover. What was the last time before that?
Oh, look, but it was, I don't even know if it was that year. You know?
I mean, I don't know. I can't remember. Check the, for me, Jimmy G, Kansas City game. Jimmy G still in, Kansas City game.
Okay.
I wonder if the Chiefs were favored in that game.
I just looked. In 2022, they were 1-2 against the spread as an underdog.
Okay.